Hey everyone, welcome to Myopia Movies. This week, we are talking the 1986 classic Transformers movie as part of our ongoing Not Disney Animated Movies movie. This movie is baffling, but somehow got an incredible cast, but also somehow, like, I don't even know. Like, it has a Weird Al song for zero reason. It's also sci-fi trippy. It's also bizarre. It's also a movie that my high school marching band watched a whole bunch on the bus. Anyway. So if you can find this, it just got an actual really nice re-release on 4K of all things. But enjoy the deep cast, enjoy the bafflement, and enjoy the confusion. And thanks for listening, subscribing, and however you get us, we appreciate it. Bye.
Welcome to Myopia Movies. They're just rolling into this one like a robot in disguise.
It's true.
We've transformed and we're rolling out.
For Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, I'm Nick Hoffman talking about a Woo Doggy commercial from 1986, The Transformers, the movie, Ooh. As it is officially titled. I know one of us watched it in 4K.
The Transformers, the movie?
That's what it says on the IMDb.
And one of us didn't watch it at all. Because I didn't get the email.
I'm the one who watched it in 4K, just for the record.
Of course you did.
And I watched it on a DVD that I purchased that I don't think was legal. Because watching it, it's not even in 4x3. It's kind of janky. It's like in a 4x4 square. It's very strange. Anyway, so we watched the Transformers, the movie, the podcast, the episode. I'm Nick Hoffman, host of Myopia Movies and Riff on Cineprof with my good friend.
I'm Candace, also from Cineprov, and I do trivia at Felix's, and I host the regular Victor show, and, you know, whatever, I'm in your nightmares and dreams.
And since you're here, listen, we're done with the Patreon for Cineprov, but if you want to hear the riffs, sign in, and you can buy them individually.
Ooh, good idea.
Including the last one, which was a showstopper on Debbie Does Dallas.
Which is in the public domain, so you don't even have to worry about buying the movie.
No, it's just there. And
it's
all
just
of them...
four friends quietly watching pornography together.
Like
but not
you
so
do.
Quietly.
And Larry complaining about their penetration depth, if I recall, the whole time. And us not making eye contact at all.
I was staring at people the entire time just to make them uncomfortable during it. I was like...
Me too. I'm just here on my computer.
It's not awkward at all.
Timing people as they go to the restroom.
Yeah.
And on panel we have...
Hello, this is Daniel, contributor to popdose.com. I'm currently running through the bottom 100 of IMDb. The Human Centipede 2 is going to be coming out soon.
Ooh.
And I, as one of the titular characters in this movie, it holds a special place in my heart.
And I am author Matthew W. Quinn, who wrote the Revenge of the Fallen reboot Transformers fanfic. Because the... Transformers Revenge of the Fallen had a good idea, it was not executed well. Here to have someone who actually has actual writing talent fix that.
I love fan fiction. I had no idea you did that.
Yes, he sure
it's
does.
It's posted in the group.
Is it really? Okay, I'm going to look for that then. I read a lot of DS9 fan fiction. It's usually really gay stuff between Garrick and Bashir, but you know, whatever.
What is Deep Space Nine?
It's Star Trek.
It's one of them Star Treks.
Ah, okay.
The one with Sisko.
Uh-huh.
The one who likes, what is it, that thong?
Oh,
I'm gonna punch you in your face.
I know you are.
Oh, wait, he wasn't referring to the actual Sisko? That's a character in Star Trek?
Captain Sisko.
Not Sisko, the singer. The one that everyone, that was a household name. You remember Sisko? Hello? Anyone? The thong, the punk thong? The thong thong.
You mean the dumps like trucks?
Trucks?
Thighs like what?
What?
You don't realize this, but Candace was segueing because we're talking about trucks that turn into...
Oh my god, we need to do a music video, Transformers, but with the thong song.
Baby, get your butt. What?
Guns like a truck? Truck?
Yes!
Nukes like what? What?
Yes! There we go.
Alright, so, Sudsy, why don't you take us through the plot of this one?
Oh boy, there certainly is a plot. It's a continuation, I guess, of the cartoon series, which I've seen all of one episode, I think, in my life, and it sucked. The original 80s cartoon is not good.
It's good.
No, it's not.
It's very good.
Blasphemer.
I mean, it's a toy commercial come to life. It's
yeah,
fine.
Basically. Like Orson Welles said, it's a toy commercial come to life. But anyway, in terms of this movie, it is the distant future, the year 2005.
Wow.
They are robots, and humanity has been wiped out during the robotic uprising of the late 90s. No, that's not what happens.
It is 2005, though.
It is 2005. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's this giant Galactus figure called Unicron, who is voiced by Orson Welles, who wants to devour Cybertron and its surrounding moons. Every alien, by the way, except for humanity, is a robot in this universe. I don't know why. So the one thing he fears is the Autobot matrix of leadership that is passed on from leader to leader, including Optimus Prime, who, spoiler alert, gets killed very early on in this movie.
A movie that broke millions of 80s boys' hearts.
Indeed. No, that was a very tragic scene. But anyway, Unicron tasks Megatron to find the matrix and gives him a new body and identity, Galvatron, while the new leader of the Autobot... The Autobrots.
Yeah. They're delicious.
Okay.
You should have them with mustard.
There you go. Tune, baby.
So them Autobrots, new leader, Ultra Magnus, has the Matrix, and they're trying to flee and escape the Decepticons after Optimus dies and prevent them from getting the Matrix. And, yeah, Unicron, in the meantime, is getting impatient and may want to destroy Cybertron, their home planet.
And for those of you who are following this now, I have posted a link to Matt's Revenge of the Fallen reboot.
Ooh.
From 13 years ago in the group, so you can find it there.
It's helped me through many lonely nights.
It's 33 chapters long.
Is it really?
Yes. 60,000 words.
Oh, there you go. That's 10,000 more than The Great Gatsby, I believe.
It is. And about as long as my dissertation.
Oh, there you go.
Mine has more explosions.
My dissertation? Possibly.
But yours might have gangrene bursts.
That's true.
Well, and cannonballs, and explosions, and women saving the day.
There you go.
As they do. Nurses save the day.
As they do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, this movie made no sense, and I hated it. I last saw it in high school, and we called him Sandwichtron. And this is Orson Welles' like death wheeze.
It's his last role during his lifetime. He
wow.
did. I think he was in one movie that he recorded before.
Was that the one where he was a computer voice?
No,
that's Orson something.
It was some indie film that one of his friends made that didn't get released until a year after his death.
That's right. Okay, so my first thought on this when I was watching it was made by Marvel. Which is true.
Yes.
It's a Marvel production, which was their TV arm. It also, which made also the My Little Pony movie from the 80s and the Spider-Man movie from the 80s. Not the Turkish one, the regular one.
See, the thing that I noticed first was that Dino De Laurentiis produced this.
So we lost $30 million somehow to the mafia?
Somehow.
And Giada De Laurentiis' teeth. That's it.
It's true.
I mean, there's some toothy people on Cooking Network or whatever it's called now. Which, by the way, as we're here... I'm excited that Iron Chef is returning.
Yes.
It's going to be on Netflix.
Yes.
And starring my good friend, Alton Brown.
Yes.
If Alton Brown and Giada De Laurentiis ever met, how good would the sex be?
It would be very measured.
I feel like
very
I would provide narration the entire time.
And then the chairman would come out and go, and fuck! And then it would...
I just picture Alton Brown at the end of it coming out and saying, good eats.
There it's gotta go. Be al dente.
This movie has nothing to talk about. See, I was right. So, at the very beginning...
There is plenty to talk about.
Credits, Richard Stack.
Robert Stack.
Not his
cavity searches all around.
Unsolved mystery. What the hell is going on in this movie?
This has a surprisingly stacked voice cast, and I don't mean that in terms of Robert
that
Stack, although he's in this. It's got Orson Welles, it's got Leonard Nimoy... Scatman Carruthers is in this movie from The Shining.
Yeah.
The Micro Machines guy, if you were a kid in the 80s, which I was, I think, 3 when the 80s ended. He's in this movie as Blur. Who else do you got? You got Casey Cat, Kasem.
With Shaggy.
You've got Judd Nelson. You've got a lot of people in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. I don't know where the money came. I mean, Mattel is where the money came from.
Yeah. Also, Eric Idle is in this movie.
There's a side quest.
This was 3 years after the last Monty Python movie, and Eric Idle was doing Transformers.
He was just walking through the set one day. He heard the song, You Got the Touch, and wandered on in.
The set? This was an animated movie. What set?
Well, the box where they record the things. Not like Nick's basement.
That's right.
Where we record the things.
Where the magic happens. This is also a year before A Fish Called Wanda happened.
Which he wasn't in.
Wait, was he not the one in it?
No.
It's Cleese and...
Michael Palin.
Oh, right. So this is where Eric Idle had no career.
Yeah.
I mean, 3 years without Monty Python and you got nothing. So you show up in a cartoon movie that's funded by a toy company. You're in trouble.
And Marvel. Like you said.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, anyway, this movie opens with the theme song, and then we get the voiceover where Unicron devours a planet, but it's not Transformers planet.
Another kind of mechanical life form world.
Right, well, I mean, this is hugely violent for what was a kid's cartoon. I mean, not only does that happen, but in the next scene, we get a whole bunch of Autobots dying. And
last year's toy line is now retired.
I guess that was the point, but at the same time, it's like if you were a kid in the 80s watching the show, these were established characters.
Well, it's funny you say that because when looking up some interesting facts about the film, because of Optimus Prime's death, and it was like such an outrage to the audience, they were actually in the middle of doing the G.I. Joe movie script at the time, and they changed the script because originally Duke was going to die in their movie. And they changed it to just him going into a coma because kids were so upset by it.
And that's, frankly, the best scene in the movie is Optimus Prime's death.
He's acting so hard. I think it's Peter Cullen who plays
Peter
Optimus.
Peter Cullen, also the voice of Eeyore.
You can tell some of these voices kind of bleed into each other, which is fine. I have nothing wrong with any of these voices. Although some of the effects they add, especially to Eric Idle's voice, make it very hard to listen to.
I don't know what Eric Idle was doing with his character.
Well,
swimming in a barge load of money.
I don't think it was that much money.
It wasn't that much money.
Okay, a baby pool full of money.
It wasn't even a baby pool. It was like,
they fed him in two large pizzas and a six pack.
So, I don't know if any of you have watched it. Kids in the Hall came back for a new season this year.
I watched the entire thing and it's fucking amazing.
It's great, but it was okay, so there was a joke where they hired an assassin to kill people who are making bad jokes, and he opens the briefcase, and inside is a $100 bill.
Yes.
That's what it is. They walk up with a dump truck that has 20 bucks in it, and he's like, I'll take it.
Well, I don't remember his character having that many lines, so that's not necessarily unfair.
I don't know. He matters for the last half of the movie pretty hard.
Yeah.
But again, I was looking at his IMDb, and he's...
Yeah, he
wasn't doing much.
The junkie on Meat Shield Brigade that helps fight Unicron, I don't really think accomplishes much.
No, he does not.
I mean, there's this giant opening battle that lasts like a good 20 minutes of this 80-minute runtime.
Yes.
And it's all like the Decepticons attacking the last Autobot stronghold. Again, this is all tied into a TV show that I really don't care about because it was absolute garbage.
Yeah, yeah. I watched a lot of the episodes of the show when I was a kid, but not necessarily in the right order.
No one did. Nobody cared about like watching like an overall arc as a kid. You were just happy there were cartoons on and you watched them.
Yeah.
This is one of those things millennials ruined, and I'm a millennial. I'm saying it like honestly, but like they forget the TV shows kind of just happened back then.
Yeah.
You know, I forget who's the quote comes from, but it's maybe Steve Martin, but he's like, remember, TV was happened because it was on. And there was nothing else to watch.
Yeah, but in the 90s, it actually, you know, people started caring again about cartoons.
Yeah, but this was in 86.
Yes, I know.
This is before that.
Yep. Check out our episode of the Michael Bay Transformers movie, which is hilarious.
The episode of the movie.
Which also, Leonard Nimoy was a voice in that, though. Was he also Galvatron?
He was.
Yes, he was.
And that's Galvatron in both of them.
Well, no, Hugo Weaving was in the first one. He was Megatron.
Well, but Galvatron comes in the second one, I think.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, but they do bring back Nimoy.
Nimoy for it, yeah.
I also just miss when Megatron could be a gun. Like an actual handgun that he transformed into another, and like Starscream was firing at Autobots.
Yeah, the dude he knows is out to betray him. He turns into a gun and lets him shoot at people with.
Yeah, basically. I mean, I don't know what else is going on. I just wonder how they got away with that in the 80s, and then I remember it was Reagan's America.
Yeah.
Well, mommy, there need to be handguns in the hands of little kids.
That's right. I mean, because that kid apparently just fucking shoots stuff. The way he saves his dad when his dad is screaming at him is kind of funny, too.
Oh, he's shooting at stuff.
So this is, we started in 2005, you know, 16 years ago.
17 at this point.
How old am I? What's happening? We're almost to the 30th anniversary.
In 2005, who here was still in high school? Who was still in school? Put your fucking hand down, Daniel.
Okay.
I was in college.
Does college count?
Yes.
I was in college. I graduated in 07.
2005 to 2006, I would have been a senior in high school.
All right. Excellent.
Yeah.
Nice.
Good times.
Was good times. I don't remember 2005. I was drunk and, like, performing in the chamber. But I'm sure it was good times for everybody else. You know. I knew a different kind of Optimus Prime, but go ahead.
She was drinking, of course.
Of course. First vodka.
That's why she forgot about the robot destruction at that time.
Actually, at that time, it was book bag vodka. I'm elevated.
She has a camelback, just like... Yes.
Oh, shit. When I do marching band, I do have a camelback. Then we go with vodka. Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Nice.
Thank you.
Vodka Gatorade is funny. So you're a little up, but also a little...
That's right.
We also get introduced to Daniel Witwicky, who is, of course, Shia LaBeouf's character.
He's Shia LaBeouf's character's son.
Yeah.
One of the next generation thing, which I thought was kind of stupid.
Well, you got to pass this on.
They need to promote new toys.
Have you ever watched the movie Dune? Or the movie Dune? Or read the book Dune? You have to pass it on to the next generation.
Dune. Or played one of 28 different versions of the board game Dune, of which I own all of them. I have an entire Kallax system of Dune. I have a whole square that's dedicated to just Dune shit.
Or seen Star Wars, which does the same thing about passing
for
on to the
nine straight movies.
Yeah.
Now I'm a Skywalker.
Everyone's a Skywalker. Hashtag Team Skywalker.
Is it during the beginning?
I am Skywalker. No, I am Skywalker.
Is it during the beginning that Unicron's attacking the planet and one of the people, when they realize they can't defeat him, oh shit, what are they gonna do now?
I know, and then and he's like, literally, he's like, it's a giant planet. He goes, oh, I'm a planet. And you're just like, what the fuck is happening? Orson Welles is like, I could eat a planet today. I'm doing Marlin, aren't I?
Yeah,
sorry.
You kind of are.
Sorry.
Do the brain if you want to do Orson Welles.
So what do you want to do tonight, Nick?
Same thing we do every night, Pinky. Yes, always.
This is filled with penis.
The guys who do Pinky and the Brain, by the way, they're really nice people.
Yes.
Maurice LaMarche, I've met him. They're really
amazing people. I ran their panel at MomoCon a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah?
And they could not have been more delightful and entertaining and interesting people to talk to.
I've only met Maurice LaMarche, and he was really nice.
Super cool people.
Rob Paulson has a podcast, and he was like, I mean, for the last 10 years or so, but he went through, like, throat cancer and stuff while on it. It's so sweet.
Rob Paulson had throat cancer?
And he's back on the mend. He's doing voice work. That was before the new Animaniacs.
I know. I've heard him do his classic voices in person. But
Tara Strong would be on there talking to him. Yeah, but seems like very kind human beings.
Yeah. Hello, Brian.
Oh, Pinky.
Brian, how do you explain the plot of this movie?
Nothing.
Pinky.
And I texted the guys here when we were watching it, which I guess I should have included Candace so she knew that we were watching it. And it was just like, I'm like, guys, you're going to have to lead this one because I have no idea what the fuck is happening. Because we start with a giant, like, planet with an orifice in the front and then, like, vagina dentition. Like, these tentacles come out and it starts consuming. Yeah.
Oh. Was there tentacles? Because if so, you downloaded the wrong movie.
And then
there are tentacles
like, oh,
in
no.
this movie. They
are
have pinchers.
Ooh, okay.
Okay, so first and foremost, I guess I'll try and lead everyone through this.
Right.
Second, I do have a Unicron figure. It's in storage right now, but
Sweet
I do
muffin.
Have
How
one.
Much did it cost? I saw it at DragonCon. It's pretty expensive.
What's basically happening, like Nick said in this movie, is let's get rid of all the old characters so we can introduce new characters so that kids will buy the toys. Like, the first 5 minutes, they kill off, I think, some major characters from the show.
Yeah, Prowl and Ironhide get it.
Very easily, wow. Too. They like
that's some George R. R. Martin type fucking power right there.
Yeah, the red shuttle flight.
The red wedding in Transformer movie.
Dude, I didn't know she was a robot in disguise.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah,
anyway, but like I said, the first 20 minutes is basically a protracted battle between the Autobots and Decepticons. Mm-hmm. Optimus Primus is fatally wounded, as are several other Autobots, but only anyone cares about Optimus. And then there's his big death scene on the operating table, which
yes.
I didn't know this character existed, the one that transformed into a microscope.
Perceptor.
Yeah, shit stain.
Perceptor, that's what it was. Which, how would that be useful? Because it's not even like a human-sized microscope, it's an Autobot-sized.
I think they use him as like sort of like a radar or sensor machine.
Okay, so Candace will be proud of me. Damn it, Optimus, I'm a doctor!
True. I mean, you had most of that right, so I was real proud.
I'm a doctor, mostly. Not a robot.
Not a machine.
Yeah,
there you go!
And meanwhile, Starscream, after one or two seasons of constantly trying and failing to backstab Megatron, finally does it.
Also, 2005, there are still cassette Transformers.
Yeah, nailed it. Who would have predicted that the durability of magnetic tape would be obsolete?
So, when I was a kid, I was a big fan of the follow-up to the original Transformers, which was Beast Wars. You remember that?
I do.
I know Beast Wars, yeah.
I like Beast Wars.
Yeah, there you go. And that one of the tapes actually came back onto that show. I rewatched it recently. I've actually got the DVD because, you know, my entire adulthood is about recapturing what I liked when I was 9.
Millennial, yeah.
And, yep, there you go. And, that one of them
it's
comes back.
It's how we cope with the dystopian future we live in.
And right. In the 90s, in a 90s show, he was still transforming into a cassette.
Could you imagine? The novelty. Speaking of cassettes, though, this soundtrack is nuts.
Oh, it's fantastic is what it is.
Not, I didn't say nuts negatively. It ends with a Weird Al song, Dare to be Stupid, as they're punching the shit out of each other.
Yep.
Which makes no sense. It's mostly done by a guy named Stan Bush.
Now, do you prefer the Stan Bush original or the Marky Mark cover from Boogie Nights?
Marky Mark cover.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Of The Touch?
Yeah.
You got the touch! You got the power!
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Definitely.
Oh, my goodness. The Touch was released as a AA single with Weird Al Yankovic's Dare to be Stupid.
Oh, there you go.
Can you imagine being that poor nerdy kid who gets Dare to be Stupid and on the back is this? Someone's getting laid tonight, though.
Well, I mean, it's a AA site, so I imagine they bought it for the Weird Al song. And then,
that's right.
You know, they wouldn't turn it over for The Touch.
It was also used in the animated series because the year after this, Optimus just came back for no reason.
Of course he did.
Of course he did. And unleash the power of the Autobots, matrix of leadership.
Listen, cartoons in the 80s were much like soap operas now. No one actually dies all the way.
All the
you
way.
You die, but then you show back up. You're like, how does this happen? They're just there. You just create another alternate universe. Listen, Marvel is not something that they've created some kind of new concept. This has been happening for years.
So let's move the plot along a little bit. Optimus,
unlike the movie. Continue.
Optimus dies. Megatron survives, but he's gravely wounded, so Starscream throws him out of their ship, so he's just drifting through space.
Right.
And that's when he encounters Unicron, who tasks him with killing Ultra Magnus and getting the and Matrix back.
And yeah, Unicron the Arkenstone.
And Unicron throws so much shade. He's like,
now I'm Simmons, Megatron.
Then it is my pleasure to be the first.
Which is exactly what Orson Welles would have said and in like then, his the middle of some L.A. four-star restaurant or a wine binge.
And then Megatron's like, what's in it for me? He's like, your bargaining posture is highly dubious, but very well.
There is actually this great book out there called My Lunches with Orson, which is like I want to say it's Henry Yagler. No.
Mr. Wells, I want your advice on how to fix Cambodia. But anyway, I think it's like Henry Jaglom or Yaglom, and it's just transcripts of when they would meet at this L.A. restaurant in the early 80s, and Orson would just talk. And it's fantastic.
Orson would just do a bump.
That's right.
And then just order a Caesar salad. Order a Cobb salad.
Yeah,
Cobb salad is what you ordered in the 80s.
I was about to say.
And then there you go.
And the steak previously cooked.
Yes.
You know what Orson Welles looked like. He was not doing cocaine in the 80s.
He was doing red wine, and he lined up bottles of it like he was doing a tasting, and he went to a white tablecloth version of either Red Lobster or a steakhouse, Longhorn Steaks, let's say, and he's like, I'll have two of everything.
Basically.
No. He's a brown derby kind of guy. He's a brown derby guy.
He was Unicron's body double.
Bullshit for him.
Yeah, basically.
He was a gentleman of size, shall we say. He died it's almost 40 years ago, but anyway.
Pour one out for our homie there.
Anyway.
What?
My homie, Orson Welles. You know my homie, Orson Welles.
Anyway.
Dear Brock Donovich is just like, oh yes, my homie, Pierre Orson Welles.
Who's also gone, by the way.
I know.
But the reason I bring that book up is because he just sounds exactly like Unicron in that book. The same pompous attitude. So I'm not even sure if his lines were scripted. I'm sure he just showed up. This is what I'm going to say.
No, there was a script. He threw it out. He goes, I will act against this animation because we haven't animated it. Oh, no.
Every July, peas grow on Cybertron. Do you really mean that? It's ridiculous.
Tell me when to put this comma and I'll blow you. How do you pronounce the comma in this sentence? I'll go down on you.
That's right. Which is a really funny video.
Oh, it's great. And to hear Maurice LaMarche do it's even funnier.
I'll make cheese for you.
That's right.
But anyway, Orson Welles tasks Megatron with finding the Matrix and transforms him into Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how they edited his voice because there's a lot of reverb on there.
There's weird shit for no reason in all of this.
Filmed it in a stairwell in a girl's bathroom.
There are stairwells in women's restrooms.
Can you imagine the luxury?
Yes. Y'all won't even know the secrets of the women's restroom.
That's why they always go in groups. They can all go in the stairwell.
It's true. Now you can get a good sorority photo while you're in there.
Gross. Well, I mean, that's what Leonard Nimoy was there to take some of his classic photography.
Exactly. He respects all the women of all sizes on the stairwell.
Galvatron, only 10 feet tall. I'm trying to do... Never mind.
Are you trying to be Jefferson Airplane there?
Well, there's the Bilbo
Baggins... He's bailing out a joke halfway through the Cineprop tradition.
There's a Bilbo... I've heard of the Leonard Nimoy's Bilbo Baggins song about Galvatron. It's not working. Damn it.
Bilbo Baggins,
only 3 feet tall.
See, that's why we're all friends, because I knew what you were trying to do, and I was like...
And you were leaving about to drink.
I was just sitting there watching. I was like, just watch it.
He's sweating.
Just take it all
He's
in.
He's sweating.
Mm. Well, so anyway, after that...
I'll add that to my fan fiction.
So Galvatron proceeds to do what took Megatron, like, 3 seasons and probably 20 years of story time to do. He just slags Starscream when Starscream is having himself crowned.
Yeah.
Okay, an alien that's millions of years old wants to dress like a European king with a crown and a cape. Something is wrong here.
Well, he was on Earth for a good while, but point taken. Either way, Starscream also is destroyed in this movie.
Yeah, good.
Who disrupts my coronation? He is having such a hissy fit.
See, I remember him from the sequel when he showed up for one episode.
Commander Starscream!
Is he really Red Skull? No, from He-Man. Who's the fucking...
Skeletor!
Yeah.
He was also Cobra Commander.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Chris Latta must have smoked a lot because he had that real distinctive voice and he died of lung cancer.
Oh, boy.
Bring us back down, Matt. They're all fucking dead. The Matt Quinn story.
Yeah, read some of my real books, kids. Not my fanfic. Yes, they're all dead.
Oh my god.
I can just keep posting things.
I want your next fanfic to be titled that. Yes, they're all dead.
Debbie Does Dallas.
Oh god damn.
Oh, and
Bambi Woods.
In terms of another plot point, while Galvatron is doing that. Unicron shows up to another planet that Spike and Bumblebee are on, and that's where we get the, oh, shit, what are we going to do now?
Yeah, they decided to get one shit and to use it right there, which
yeah,
is funny.
Yeah, because the Decepticons have taken over Cybertron. The Autobots still have control of the moons. Then Unicron shows up and eats one of them.
Just turning Bumblebee and Spike into hostages in his giant belly.
Yep. And they try and turn the planet into a giant suicide bomb that doesn't affect him at all. Which is a real plot hole here, because there are these two whole side quest storylines, and there's supposed to be this god machine sitting on top of their homeworld, and no one has any sense of urgency. What the hell?
So, one thing I'll say about this movie, I think I enjoyed it more than Nick, but one thing I will say, the dialogue is shit.
Terrible.
It's awful. Because most of it during the battle scenes, it's like you'll have, you know, people shooting at each other, and then one character will be like, oh, those two characters are shooting at each other. And then it'll immediately cut back to the shooting happening. I think that's what happens with Galvatron chasing Ultra Magnus's ship. Cup tries to be better by introducing old war stories. Well, this reminds me of when I was in Normandy in 1944.
Yeah, I'm actually on the Facebook group. There's a discussion of which Transformers character you are. I was Cup.
Yeah.
I was D Cup.
I'm a D Cup. Oh, wait a minute. I think we're talking about something else.
Sorry. No, I think we're good.
Okay, so I did want to add something about the potty mouth, about the oh shit line.
Yeah.
So Spike's random potty mouth was not random. The reason they did that is because originally the movie was going to be giving a G rating, which in 1986 meant that the movie would only be played during certain times of the day. So they purposely put in the oh shit line so it would bump it to a PG rating, which allowed for more showings at the theater.
The afternoon matinees where you drop the kids off in the theater to watch a piece of garbage movie and then just go shopping.
Reagan's America.
Unfortunately, it only ended up, the film only made $6 million at the box office. So it wasn't terribly effective, but they do feel like it helped the movie make money.
Can you imagine?
Because it was just more showings per day.
No, I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah.
That's why...
Yes, that's a random fact. That's the one thing I brought to this filming today. Continue.
I mean, I feel like you and I have the same grasp on this movie, so yeah. I'm with you. But yeah, this movie essentially lost money, so...
A lot of money.
Yeah.
It did.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, at this point, I have no idea what's going on. Like, at one point, Daniel Witwicky is, like, kind of kidnapped and ends up on another planet. We don't really see it.
The Decepticon Galvatron shows back up in Autobot City and chases the Autobots off Earth and shoots down both of their escape ships on two different planets.
Right.
Hence the side quests.
Oh.
So it's Cup and Hot Rod on one planet.
How did Leonard Nimoy find time to do that while he was photoing women in the bathroom? And he could chase off those planets.
Caffeine.
The
thing?
It's the 80s. It was slightly stronger than
that's
caffeine.
True. That's true. Right. You're right.
My cocaine latte.
My cocaine. Coke that contains real cocaine.
Wait, he did that? Nimoy did?
This is between Star Wars movies. This is 87.
Star Trek. Bitch, you on
Star Trek.
You're about
Nicholas
to get punished.
Nicholas going to the punishment corner.
You're about to get spanked, Nick.
I'm not allowed to go to the punishment corner.
She's going to bring the ruler out.
So
Matt's describing a fetish slowly as if I'm... This is a ruler.
Tell me more about this, Matthew.
Well, anyway, on the two planets, one of them has Eric Idle on it, which
it's the junk.
Grimlock goes to that planet.
Dude, the Dinobots. The Dinobots, fucking Dinobots. These
Dinobots are the shit.
They're just like, I can't talk in sentences because I'm stupid, and it's just okay.
Dinobot must emphasize name.
Also,
me Grimlock whoops everyone's ass.
Who's the shithead who talks too fast?
Blur. Who's so annoying.
Yeah, Judd Nelson is Hot Rod and Rodimus Prime.
Is Blur done by the Micro Machines guy?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
Oh, God, I hate all this.
Love all this. It's funny. Like,
I haven't seen this movie in
20 years, but I still remember this being really delightful.
What do you have against the Micro Machines guy?
Yeah,
nothing against him.
Yeah.
It's just this movie feels like
a cash grab.
Well, it feels like they put four episodes together.
Yes.
Cut the budget of those episodes in half. Yes. This looks so cheap. They're
Oh, the animation is super slow. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm not going to, like, praise the animation here, but I disagree that it's the budget cut in half, because the original cartoon looks like shit. This at least looks competent.
Okay. But the money went to a soundtrack, which the soundtrack did okay. Actually, if you look, the soundtrack got, like, 4 stars on AllMusic. It was in Rolling Stone's reviews. The rest of this movie lost money, so I don't know what to tell you. Like, it's just a mess, and they undid all of it with the next season of the show, because everyone who died came back in the next season. So it had no impact on anything other than being a blockbuster disaster that gets a coda for being Orson Welles' last movie.
See, I failed in my research and didn't follow up with what happened in the next season of the show.
By the way, the guy who did this
bring back Optimus Prime. I have to see if they brought back anyone else, because I don't recall seeing Ironhide again.
I don't remember the show.
Which one was Ironhide again?
The one who Megatron just shoots in the face at the end of the hijack scene.
The silver and blue.
And the problem with what you said for me is when I was watching it in syndication, the episodes were shuffled anyway. So I don't know the order in which someone died or came back or whatever. I will say, though, that this guy, his name is John Mosqueda, maybe? The guy who was the micro scene guy, has a Guinness record for the most words spoken per minute.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
It has now been replaced, but he is still the third most. 586 words per minute, beaten by Stephen Woodmire, who's also a voice actor, who did 637 words per minute, and then a guy named Sean Shannon, who did 655.
That's a lot of words.
So many words.
And he just ate too a lot many. Of sugar.
No, I looked up an interview with him once, and his big thing was he recited all of Michael Jackson's Bad in like 30 seconds.
Yeah, I remember that. I've seen that video, or a video of him doing it. And he just did a bunch of TV doing that.
Yeah.
You might remember him as the FedEx guy.
Hi, I'm Troy McClure. You might remember him from such movies as Fast Talking, High Trousers, and Transformers the Movie. I can't talk nearly as fast as him. But it really does sound like this. It has the same cadence. Decepticons everywhere. I'm going to shoot and... By God, This Cuban shit is good. This Cuban shit is really good. Really good, Optimus. It's really good Cuban shit.
Optimus Prime spent 20 years on Earth violating the Cuban embargo laws.
That's true. God,
I just need downers. I feel like...
I'll get my bag. Hold on a minute.
That's right.
That's his condition. That's part of the deal allows him to stay on Earth is endless Cuban cigars and cocaine.
Cocaine? I like the idea in 1980... I guess 2004, when like the year before this, when everything's cool on Earth, and there's giant fucking robots, there would still be like a Cuban like embargo nonsense. Like, no, the second giant fucking robot show up, I think most of our issues
they
are gone.
They don't mention Earth a whole lot, like what's going on in 2005. They only mention what's going on with the Transformers.
Yeah, the only thing it seems to have happened is that Spike and Carly got married and had Daniel, and Carly's not even in it.
No.
Who is Carly?
The blonde girl.
The girl.
The one woman on this entire cast.
You mean RC, well, the pink lady?
Human girl.
Human. Okay.
Yeah. And no one seems to mention her or care.
By the way, this is the second movie of Fast.
Sounds like most human girls.
Aww.
Was there some really bad divorce at some point?
I will say this is the second fast-talking movie we've done because he was the radio guy in Dick Tracy. That's all I have to
do. Oh, shit, that was good.
I like Dick Tracy.
Yeah, me too.
I like that movie, too.
Yeah, that was more fun than I thought. This movie is about the same. So I saw this when I was in high school. Like I said, it was on a band bus. It was a band bus favorite because the older nerd seniors liked it, and I was more trying to hook up with a color guard girl, which, you know, mission accomplished. But still, I remember them, like, cheering at certain points and not knowing what was happening at all.
Because you were busy trying to touch a boobie.
Mission accomplished.
I saw this when I was actually watching the show, so I was probably about 5 or 6.
Did you make Kermit noises as you touched the boobie?
I mean, just the one time.
Is that what got her? Is that what solidified it?
Did you make her do Miss Piggy voices too?
First of all, you never call a girl Miss Piggy.
No,
correct.
Without the explicit written consent of Major League Baseball. That's just off the table.
Oh, Mickey!
Hi-ya!
Hi-ya!
My high school experience is coming right before my... Wait, let me try that again. It's flashing back before my... Oh, God.
Start playing Fortunate Son. Nick is having some flashbacks.
Right.
No, no, no. See, because I graduated from high school in 2003. So
that means everything they played was Journey of Earth, Wind, and Fire.
No, no, it would have been Green Day, Time of Your Life.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, but that's not what you were playing in the band, though. You didn't get that. I mean, you might be listening to that.
No, that was the last dance at, like, homecoming.
Did you make room for Jesus while you were dancing?
Well, depends obviously on what not point if he's grabbing boobs.
That's right.
Anyway, a bunch of random shit happens. There's scenes with the Dinobots meeting Wheelie. There's a scene in a...
Yeah, the Dinobots meet Wheelie, and they save Hot Rod and Cup from being put on trial and executed.
That's right, yes. With the, the Sharkticons? They're literally called Sharkticons.
And they are kind of scary-looking little bastards, I'll give them that.
And then that day in the writer's room, they took off early.
Job well done.
At one point, Cup rips a Sharkticon's tail off and beats another one to death with it. Don't mess with Grandpa.
Exactly.
I am Ultra Magnus. I am Magnetron. I am Cup. I mean, again, someone took half a day off. I mean,
there's no need to insult Robert Stack.
No, because it's Robert Stack. Give him a cooler name. And also, Cup was voiced by...
Ultra Magnus isn't a cooler name.
No. I'm saying Cup is the fucking stupid name, asshole. Rodimus Prime. Judd Nelson is Rodimus Prime. And some poor asshole named Lionel Stander is named Cup.
I said Rod.
I was about to say Ultra Magnus is the condom brand I buy, but anyway.
That's right.
Yeah, an Ultra Magnus.
You like him roomy, or what's going on?
As opposed to Bone Crusher, which is...
Well, I mean, Ironhide is also a brand that I'm a fan of.
For when you don't want to feel anything.
And for her.
Oh, there you go. For her, it's called Starscream.
Exactly.
Oh, there you go.
I wear a grimoire.
At every moment, I want to read more of your fan fiction, man. Every moment is a bigger seller for this. I'm just throwing it out there. Just saying. You're brilliant.
Thank you.
I wear a Grimlock for her pleasure.
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
Dinosaur-sized. Amazingly, yeah. Swoop is not a very popular brand.
That's right. These things get worse and worse. Anyway, so we should wrap up the end of this.
Yeah.
Okay, so the two are rescued. There's this big segment in the middle where the Autobots bond with Daniel, and he gets Dad's exosuit. He told me all about it. Which also can transform
and
for some reason
into like some sort of car-looking thing. It does not break his spine.
Oh.
No, it does not. But anyway, there's this whole thing where they escape. Well, Ultra Magnus is shot to pieces, and Galvatron does get the Matrix, and he tries to use it against Unicron. It doesn't work, so Unicron transforms and says, "I'm going to destroy Cybertron."
Because I'm a petty asshole.
And that leads to the big climax of the movie.
Where they fight inside Unicron, and Hot Rod is able to open the Matrix. The theme song starts playing. Optimus Prime starts talking from beyond the grave, so you know shit is getting real.
Very real.
And he becomes Rodimus Prime, so he certainly turns from a sports car into what looks like a Winnebago.
You know how I knew it was getting real? Because while he was doing it, you got the touch! He
started playing, yeah.
Yep. You got the power to chuck Galvatron through a space god's gut and out into deep space.
And to make Orson Welles explode.
Also, I will say, the MacGuffin of leadership, or whatever it's called, seems to be nothing but an obstruction because you have to hold it with both hands. And so when they're holding it, they just get punched in the fucking face.
Well,
how that holding takes place?
Yeah. Galvatron tries to shoot him while he's doing it and has a force field.
Well, they try to open it earlier. Ultra Magnus says, "Open! Damn it, open!" Okay, you're not opening. Cavity searches all around because that is a superior Robert Stack.
Yeah, light our darkest hour. That wasn't anyone's darkest hour except for Ultra Magnus because he gets slagged.
Well, he comes back to life thanks to Eric Idle and his...
The Junkions.
Yeah. What they're called?
Yeah.
They're called Junkions, yeah.
And they have a musical number after Cup manages to befriend them with Batu, Klaratu, Nictu, whatever the hell he says.
Nictu, Baratu, I don't know.
Excuse you, Matt. Baha, Weep, Grana, Nick, Nini, Bob.
You actually wrote that down.
I did not write that down.
Oh my God, the women are having sex with you? Daniel, how do you know this?
I was like, fuck you. I was, oh, I lost it.
We already
I was going to make a joke when you were like, all right, let's wrap it up. And I was like, speaking of condoms.
That's right.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm classy. I'm a guest. Be classy.
We already
you
had,
have to be classy, and you are a guest.
Thank you.
What sort of condom brand would a Perceptor brand look like? Square.
Square peg in a round hole.
Good Lord, that sounds like it'd be painful.
The Perceptor, when she doesn't, when she least expects it.
No one expects the Spanish. Oh, never mind.
No one expects the Spanish Inquisition. Our chief weaponry is sex. Sex and surprise. Our two chief weaponry are sex and surprise. And prophylactics. Our three. Three chief weapons. Oh, I'll come back.
Daniel, is your penis wearing a hat? A big floppy hat.
Big hat.
Oh. Of course.
It's the foreskin weights.
That was an episode about how to regrow your hat. All right, we can cut back in.
Excellent.
All right. So it's not Klaatu, Baratu, Nictu.
No, it's not. No. It's Bawi, Grana, Nik, Nini. Ba or Bob? I forget what the last word is.
Ba Ram you. Ba Ram you.
By the way, Eric Idle loses his shit. He's like, oh my god, you know the thing? Oh my god.
Yeah, so they go from trying to mob the Autobots with their vastly superior numbers to having a dance number.
To Weird Al.
Never mind.
Too they're to be stupid. This
so
is
like a dance fight, would you
no,
say?
They're all doing a ring dance.
No.
Oh.
No, they're
all
dancing
on fire.
Yeah, all we need is to put Ultra Magnus in a chair and carry him around.
And then that's where we learn they speak TV, because this entire time Eric Idle's just been saying random TV phrases, but anyway,
which is an episode they stole from Star Trek, because in TNG there's that planet they go to and everyone speaks in cliches.
Oh, so this came out before The Next Generation.
Obviously.
Did it really?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Oh no,
Next Gen wasn't until the 90s.
Well, the original series, they had the planet.
Yes, it was. Look it up. Early 90s.
Well, in the original series,
80s, early 90s.
In the original series, had the episode where they found that alien planet where everyone watching gangster movies.
Correct.
It came out the same year as this.
What's Next Generation did?
87.
But it, this came out in 86.
Okay, so this came out in 87.
This came out...
TNG came out in 87. Okay.
Yeah, TNG was and that TNG episode was not in the first season. It was
three or four.
Second or third, yeah. So it's
an excellent episode.
It's a good episode, but they definitely stole it from this, and that's okay.
Do I have to go back in the discipline corner?
Yes. Matt, fetch the ruler.
So anyway, their new allies, the Junkticons?
No, it was Weird Allies.
Oh, Weird Al.
Dare to be stupid. Because that's what's playing when he's doing this, is dare to be stupid.
I am seriously surprised that a Weird Al never just flat out did a parody with it. Because that's what Dare to be stupid is kind of supposed to be. It's supposed to be a Devo
it's
song.
It's a loving Devo thing. But I will say, I read the thing. He was asked on an MTV thing how he ended up in Transformers. He goes, I don't know, my buddy from whatever company made the soundtrack asked me if I wanted to be in a Transformers movie. He said, sure, why not? My second question was, how did you get my number?
There you go.
Looked you up in the phone book.
No, Weird Al was getting paid, so I can understand why he said yes.
In 87, I'm sure and again, love the guy.
He's a legend.
True blue. But in 1987, he had an album under his belt, maybe two. He needed the money. Now he's triple platinum in the last album alone, so...
But I still have a feeling if anyone from the Transformers franchise asked, he'd still say, yeah, you can use one of my songs.
Dude, he made a new song for Captain Underpants, 5 years ago, so...
Tra-la-la! It's a great song, too.
Yeah, for Unicron, eat it. Just eat it.
No, that is Orson Welles's...
The Orson Welles cover of Eat It. Just eat it.
I got the sense, just reading all of his bios, that was just his way of coping with depression. Was just eating a whole bunch.
Eating it?
Yes.
He just ate it. Okay, so let's get out of this depressing hole and end this fucking podcast.
Alright, let's end the movie. Like Matt said, Hot Rod gets the Matrix. He uses it to destroy Unicron. Galvatron is thrown out the side and just goes drifting through space, and I think it literally ends with Unicron exploding, and then his head just
becomes Cybertron's new moon.
Yep.
Correct.
Which was referenced in Beast Wars.
Yeah, and I think there was a plot in the TV show where I think they're trying to connect Unicron's head to Cybertron to make it his new body, and Starscream's ghost was somehow involved. And I need to go look that up again.
I don't know.
And then meanwhile, Rodimus Prime does the whole, this is the end of the Cybertronian War, they all chant, till all are one.
Yeah.
Well, everyone is one, because all the Decepticons are dead.
Except, yeah. No, they're not really.
Yeah, it's the so say we all chant, essentially. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
But no, not really, the Decepticons are all dead. Unicron's transformed Decepticons may be out of commission, but there's still a lot of
them. A lot of the other ones, like the Decepticons, only ones fighting defend Cybertron for a while. You see Unicron flailing around like a bunch of bees are stinging him.
Yeah.
Those are little bastards, given their all.
I don't think they died, but anyway, they do. Yeah, Matt is right. That is what's going on in the finale. Unicron's eye is destroyed, so his other eye is like shooting out a laser against the bees that are around him.
The bees! The bees! Nicolas Cage, voice of Unicron.
Oh my god, that would be incredible. You know what? Let's make that happen tomorrow. Has Unicron been in the new franchise?
Yes.
Yes.
He has?
In some version. I stopped watching after 3.
Yeah, he's in the same episode as the Dinobots that they also brought back.
That's right.
In like the third or
fourth
one?
Yeah, it's the fourth one.
Is that the one where it's got Optimus Prime wielding a sword riding Grimlock?
Yes.
Oh, that sounds like shit.
It was amazing.
It was like 3 hours long, 3 days long, 4 days long.
It was. Nobody else liked it. I liked it. But see, I like really cheesy, campy bullshit like that. Like, feed me all the member berries. I just want to sit in the theater, get drunk, and just feel happy and nostalgic. That's my jam.
In the not-too-distant future.
So Fathom Events is your friend then, Candace?
It is. It is.
So Matt wrote the end of this down. Had the Autobots remained just a few minutes longer, they would have learned that the fallen Decepticons hadn't made it to the point of no return, like you said. Just before they would have crossed that line, something seized them. Slowly, oh so slowly, the corpses of Megatron and the others floated away from the black hole. Instead, they floated towards the direction that materialized amid the dead, frozen worlds that had formed around the black hole when it was a living star. They floated in the direction of Unicron. Mm.
Okay,
cliffhanger ending.
So,
that's my story. I wrote it.
Thank you for quoting that excerpt from A Brief History of Time, but what happens in this movie?
Nothing.
Okay.
The credits.
The Socialist Democratic Federated Republic of Carbonia.
Yeah, because you know Gaddafi would be working with Decepticons if he got away with that little shit.
Definitely.
He's dead.
He has been dead for a while.
That's right.
Not in 1985.
That's right.
That's true.
For happy news, he ended up being bayoneted a whole bunch in the ass and then bleeding out, and that's how he died, but...
That's good cut.
I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
Yeah, that's what happened.
That is what happened. That's exactly what happened. It didn't involve NATO either, according to the Transformers wiki.
No, I mean, this movie ends very abruptly with Unicron blowing up, his head floating around, and then we get a freeze frame, and then we hear the theme song again.
That's all you had to do back then. You didn't have to give closure. You didn't have to do a cliffhanger. You were just like, until next time, kids. And you're like, okay.
Well, you had Rodimus Prime's victory speech.
Yeah.
You know what? I kind of like that about 80s movies. RoboCop ends the same way.
I agree.
Killed the villain.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
30 seconds later, the movie ends.
Done.
Die Hard. He lands on the ground, and he's just like, fuck you, I'm going to a Christmas party, and drives out of movie town.
And that's
the movie's
it.
Over in 10 seconds.
And that's it. There's something very short and sweet about that.
Yeah. Anyway, so we're done. That's the movie. Unless any of you have something cute to add.
I have nothing cute to add.
We've talked about 90% as long as this movie has gone, and this movie's got nothing for me.
It's true.
Candace, did you learn anything?
I learned that Daniel can sing really high and that Matt might be writing pornography on the side.
He is.
Both are question marks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Subscribe to Matt's OnlyFans to get his full erotic fiction lineup.
Just him typing naked.
Frankly, I think this is better than Michael Bay movies.
It's called Only Plans. Instead of saying naked, doing like lesson plans, Only Plans.
Oh, scripting
boy.
Out future stories,
yes.
He's going to
yeah,
write.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's no squirt in this one, so we know it's not Michael Bay.
Well, how else are you going to learn about what Henry VIII was up to back in the day? But anyway.
King Arthur.
The dialogue is absolute garbage, mm-hmm. but they make up for it by having a very good voice cast for this movie. And frankly, I think the animation looked okay. It reminded me a lot of like what 80s anime looked like. It's not great, especially compared to what Disney was doing at the time, but it was certainly serviceable. If you're a fan of the franchise, this is where, this is something if you haven't seen, I'd recommend you see, especially if you're only familiar with the base shit, because some of that is absolute shit, especially compared to this, but...
Shit.
If... No, I mean...
Alliteration?
If... But if you're not, then if you're not a Transformers fan, this isn't going to convert you, and you're probably just going to spend the entire movie watching it with one eyebrow up on your forehead and going, what the fuck is this? But still, you know what? There's worse ways to waste 79 minutes. Every time.
I liked it. It's pretty exciting. It's, you know, yeah, I complained about, you know, the two side quest plots that take a third of the movie while Unicron is going to eat Cybertron, but it's entertaining. It's fun to watch. It's not. It's never boring. I liked it. And if you're a Transformers fan, definitely check it out. As Daniel said, it's better than most of the Bay movies. The first and second are the only good ones.
I agree with
you,
Daniel.
Use your words, Daddy.
I agree with Daniel, though. With the caveat, if you've never seen the animated Transformers show before, this is not where you need to start.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I'd rather watch this. Like, I'm sure the Den of Geek or some nonsense has done a list of 10 episodes of Transformers, which is really good, that you need to start with. Because if you don't know who any of these characters are, there's nothing here for you. It's just a lot of talky talk. And as Matt said, if it's talky talk, the dialogue is terrible. And I agree with Daniel, the animation looks like the TV show. You're putting something in theaters. Invest more than the TV show, though.
They did, I think.
They did.
If they did, it wasn't much. This thing
looks better than the TV show.
It cost $5.5 million, apparently, according to IMDb.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know how much it cost to make 6 episodes of the show. Probably less than that, so I'll agree with you there. I just am curious how much went to the soundtrack.
You know what it reminds me of?
Or the voice cast.
I'm sorry to cut in here, but the recent Bob's Burgers movie, which came out a week before we recorded this, if you watch that movie, it looks better than the TV show does. Not a whole lot better, but they've got a higher frame rate. They clearly spend a little more time to make the characters look good in high def. It's the same with this movie, frankly. It's not necessarily amazing, but it's in the spirit of the show while at the same time being movie quality.
I mean, the difference with Bob Burgers is the computers, the use of computers in this. But I will say, I saw it on probably an older production because Sudsy saw it on the nice polished 4K, which may have made a difference. But I'll just say, like, if you don't know the show, the fact that the red and blue guy dies at the beginning doesn't have much impact. So that's what I will say. And so, like, I don't know why people I knew were obsessed with this when I was younger, but it's just kind of it's more of a novelty to me. They don't make movies like this anymore. They just don't. Anyway, this animation track keeps on fucking through our lives. We're staying away from Disney this month. We've done a month of animation getting gradually cheaper, I would guess.
Nice.
Starting with Shrek. So thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing.
Yes.
Thanks for following us. Yes. As I teased,
yes,
join the CineProv Patreon if you want to. Well, the Patreon's dead, but join the group if you want the things from the Patreon, because yes, we're selling them at a, you know, individual basis now. Everyone plug their stuff, including Candace at Felix's. Don't forget Candace at Felix's, and watch Daniel's Descent into Madness on Popdos. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Myopia Movies is produced by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Settis. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Settis. Mission Briefing is hosted by John Copsey. Podcasts are edited by Daniel Settis, and Patreon is edited by Nick Hoffman. Our engineer is Nick Hoffman. The theme song is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod from Incomtech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.